On the 250th anniversary of the birth of Ludwig van Beethoven, I, Patricia Salomone, present Beethoven, His Life and Times, with the assistance of my friend Gerald Fennec for the musical content. Likely that when Haydn had passed through Bonn, he encouraged Beethoven to join him in Vienna, offering to give him lessons. Towards the end of 1792, on Waldstein's recommendation to the Elector, young Beethoven was released from his duties with the Bonn Orchestra and was on his way to Vienna. This is Waldstein's farewell letter to him. Dear Beethoven, you are now going to Vienna in fulfillment of a wish that has for long been thwarted. The genius of Mozart still mourns and weeps the death of its pupil. It has found a refuge in the inexhaustible Haydn, but no occupation. Through him he desires once more to find a union with someone. Through your unceasing diligence, receive Mozart's spirit from the hands of Haydn, your true friend, Waldstein. Bonn, 20th October, 1792. But events were to roll fast and to take an unexpected turn. In December, just before his 22nd birthday, Ludwig received the news of his father's death and became aware that the old man had previously embezzled the money he had put aside for his two brothers. Another shock came when he realized that the 400 florins that he was expecting from the Elector turned out to be a mere 100 florins for his first quarter, and shortly after the stipend dried up completely because the Elector found himself in dire circumstances. Britain's golden era had suddenly come to an end with the arrival of Napoleon's Grande Armée, which annexed the entire left bank of the Rhine. Bonn's university was shut down, and the Code Napoleon was adopted. A freedom tree was erected in Bonn's main square. Maximilian Franz retreated to Vienna, where he died in 1801, ill and grotesquely fat. Beethoven had lost his patron before having had the time to dedicate to him his first symphony. Although he was short of cash, Beethoven had the precious introduction to some of the highest names in Vienna. His extraordinary ability at the fortepiano earned him the invitation to play in some of the highest homes in town. It also brought him many a request for lessons. He personally quickly began lessons with the great old master Haydn, who found the young man lacking in discipline and the knowledge of counterpoint, but who had a fatherly attitude towards him. The young man, on the other hand, having had a very poor father-son relationship, was quite unable of accepting this one. Respectful though he was towards the old musician, he could not wait until he could free himself from under his wing. Arriving in Vienna, Beethoven was lodged in an attic room in the house of an Austrian aristocrat, a relative of Count Falstein, Prince Karl Linknowski. Beethoven was eventually to refer to this high-ranking aristocrat as one of the truest friends and promoters of my art. The patronage of Prince Linknowski threw the doors open to most wealthy homes for the young, awkward, unrefined youth who had never worn a wig and whose clothes were far from acceptable. But the moment he sat at the piano, people were mesmerized. Thank you.
Beethoven's relationship with the piano, as with most of the people in his life, was hardly smooth. He forged his early reputation in Vienna, in no small measure as a pianist. He was, among other things, a quite brilliant improviser. Though there was always a sense on Beethoven's part that for all the new technical and expressive potential offered by the instrument, it was never quite adequate for his creative needs. With the composer gradually declining into deafness, his piano playing became ever wilder, as he strained to hear his own playing, and as he further pushed the boundaries of his own deeply personal musical language. Eventually, total deafness did at least spare him the awful sounds of breaking strings and shattering keys, the inevitable consequences of the physical punishment he dealt out to the instrument. Indeed, in his latter piano works, Beethoven did not seem to have in mind the still rudimentary and relatively fragile piano of his day at all, but some as yet undeveloped instrument of the future, a piano more akin to the powerful instrument of today. As well as his 32 piano sonatas, sets of variations, and many other shorter piano works, it was only natural that Beethoven should unite the piano with another instrument, so critical to his output, the orchestra. And between 1790 and 1809, he composed 5 piano concertos.
Before long, the city, which had lost Mozart, had found a truly remarkable virtuoso. Although he looked more like a street seller than an artist, the aristocrats, patrons of the arts, flocked to hear him. Beethoven dedicated his piano trios, Opus 1, to Prince Lichnowsky. Vienna was the heart of the musical world. Frivolity was the rage. But the joyous living of the aristocrats hid an undercurrent of fear, which saw its roots in the beheading in Paris of Empress Maria Theresia's daughter, Marie Antoinette, sister of Joseph II and of his successor, Leopold II. After the tragic event of the French Revolution, Europe's enlightened despots reversed any liberal policies they had previously enacted. They may have been enlightened, but despots they actually were. The period saw the founding of the Austrian secret police, with censorship of the press, arrests, and imprisonment of suspected radicals. Our young musician mixed socially with enthusiastic radical youth, and although there has been much debate about how much the ideas of the French Revolution affected the young Beethoven, it is inevitable that he fell under the influence of Robespierre's ideals of liberté, fraternité, égalité, followed soon after by the febrile admiration that young intellectuals had for that genial general who led the Grande Armée across Europe. Like many young men his age, Beethoven was a liberal. Among the pleasure-seeking Viennese, Beethoven acquired a reputation for political intransigence and unconventional religious ideas. He was strongly opinionated, speaking his truth to high and low, frequently helped by drink, in a rather outrageous manner. This would have endangered his position vis-à-vis his aristocratic patrons, had not his exceptional musical ability encouraged them to close an eye to his intractable character, his rebellious nature, and republican leanings. Thus, notwithstanding all, he thrived both as a performer and as a composer. In February 1798, the French Directorate sent General Jean Bernadotte as ambassador to Vienna. Handsome, dashing Bernadotte was musical, and he brought with him from Paris such musicians... Handsome, dashing Bernadotte was musical, and he brought with him from Paris such musicians as the violinist Rodolphe Kreutzer. Through Prince Lichnowsky, Beethoven was introduced to Bernadotte and Kreutzer, hence the influence of French revolutionary music on the young man from Bonn. In the meantime, Napoleon advanced into Europe, and with the Battle of Marengo in 1800, he drove the Austrians out of Italy. It was quite foreseeable that the whole of Central Europe might soon come under French administration. Not only was the political situation uncertain, but so was Beethoven's financial situation. He depended on the patronage of great aristocrats such as Prince Joseph Lobkowitz, Baron Gottfried von Swinton, Prince Karl Lichnowsky, and Count Andreas Radzumovsky, but he did not have a steady, safe income on which to count. It was at this stage in his life, early in the 19th century, that Beethoven began toying with the idea of moving to Paris. his newly acquired friend and student, Ferdinand Reis, who acted as his secretary, wrote to the publisher Shimrock in Bonn on the 6th August 1803, saying that Beethoven would linger in Vienna only another 18 months, as he intended to move to Paris. Fascinated by the success of General Napoleon Bonaparte, this giant of the musical world was evidently seriously thinking of writing something inspired by the giant of military success of his time. It was, in fact, Beethoven's intention to move to Paris and to take with him two new works to act as introduction to the Parisian musical world, one to be an opera, the other a symphony. The Eroica was taking shape in the composer's mind, the one piece that was to win him immortality.